right. This is Orly Benny Davis. We are on BBS Radio, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today is October 27, 2014. And as I promised you last week, we're going to talk about Jerusalem. And about Jerusalem, there are so many things that we have to remember, recognize, and talk about. But the important thing about it is to know that it's the city for everybody. It's a city that's supposed to be holy, and we have to preserve it. Now, what's going on today, yesterday, last week? What happened in Jerusalem, the holy city in Israel? In the heart of Jerusalem, there was a terror attack. There was a guy that took a car and just went and ran over some people and killed a little baby of 3 months old and a girl that was trying to study Judaism and to become a Jewish person because she's faithful to God and thought that the Jewish religion is the closest to the Bible, which is the truth. Everybody has to recognize that whoever believes in the Bible believes that the basic of everything is the Jewish way of being. It's the Judeo-Christian. Understand that everybody in the world that, you know, there are a billion people around the world that practice Christianity, and they all include the Bible and the Old Testament. The Jewish people have the responsibility to keep the Old Testament alive. And it's not easy. It's not even a gift of some kind. It's a responsibility. And I talked about it in the past, and I'm going to talk about it again and again. We have to recognize that the duty of the Jewish people is to bring light upon nation. It means that the place that God preserved it for the Jewish people is the Holy Land, the land that is little. It's small, and basically just, you know, people can live here from the land. Nothing major. People are not rich here. The Jewish people that are famous of their richness are not rich here in Israel. They have a basic living. They have the minimum wages. Most of them make a living hardly. They cannot finish even the month, you know, without getting under, you know, with loans and everything. So that big gift of Israel is fantastic for the world if they only accept it. And for some reason, people don't want to respect that wish of God, godly, divine promise. That, you know, the Jewish people will bring light upon nation if we only give them the chance. Now, we had a conversation today in the Israeli parliament called the Knesset. The Knesset is made of 120 members. Some of them are Arabs, the citizens of the Israeli state, and some of them are left-wing. Some of them are right-wing. The parties are split in many, many fractions. We have so many different parties because everyone has a different opinion, so they gathered in small groups. And Benjamin Netanyahu made the coalition. The coalition created by him with interference of many others, outsiders, and also with the joint forces of the Russian Jewry that came along and become one party. Lieberman is the foreign minister, and he joined forces, and that's how they created the majority in the Knesset. Now, today they're back. They're back after vacations of the holiday vacation of the new year, and they're starting on a shaky ground. Let me tell you honestly, I am, as many others are concerned. I am concerned, like they are concerned. They're concerned because the economy is shaking. The security, personal security of people are shaken. The Arab surrounds are in a mess, in a chaos. And the only democracy in the world is being under pressure. And, of course, our last visit of Minister of Defense, Moshe Ayalon, was very, very pathetic in the USA. It was pathetic because the U.S. government decided to ignore him. They gave him a meeting with the Secretary of Defense, of course, Eagle. After that, they decided they're not going to see him. Not Secretary Kerry, no other, you know, people that are important for the security of the world that, you know, America is so concerned with. And when you don't actually talk to your best friends in the region in a time of crisis, you're wondering what is really going on. Why America, the best friends of Israel, is snubbing the Minister of Defense, the guy that actually is holding the front line of defense against terrorism in the Middle East. And in Israel, of course, they are saying, oh, God, he said something to Kerry, Secretary Kerry, about him being a little, you know, out of the loop and not really seeing the picture right. But everybody knows that when you're outside, you don't see the picture. Everybody has a different vision, and nobody should take it personally. It's a people say it's politics. But when somebody come home and you ignore him, it means he's not really your friend. Or am I mistaken? They're friends, but they don't want to talk to him. They want to talk to other ministers that they are planning to create a different government with them. Well, hoo-ha. We saw that movie. Doesn't work. Not in Israel. You cannot plan. You don't have ever a chance to succeed because God is here. And there is always a plan, and God is, you know, plans is might be different. So please, you know, for everybody, all the friends around the world, we need to know one. You need to know one thing is, just be honest, be friendly, between countries, especially democratics, and you know, the leader of the free world. There is no luxury of snubbing anybody. You need to talk. You need to listen. You need to know that tomorrow is another day, and you can make it again. And friends will stay friends, and lover will stay lovers, and that's it. Nothing wrong with that. Now, the lines are open tonight. It's 1-530-327-7602. I'm opening it to anybody who was questioning the position of Israel in Jerusalem and wanted to say anything, or just wanted to chat and say hi, you know, it will be nice to talk. 530-327-7602, that's the number. And I think that you guys deserve a music right now, so let's go to a break. And we are back. This is probably one of the many times that I listen to a song that is new, and it's fabulous, and the message is clear. You know, we have to wake up loving each other and knowing that tomorrow we can start sharing this world. Now, listen to this. Last week we had a very, very harsh words coming from the King of Jordan. The King of Jordan, that his kingdom been shaken for quite some time, and I know from many, many news organizations, you know, many others, you know, venues of information, that his kingdom was shaken for quite a while, and Israel was there to help him. And yesterday or last week, we was stating oh, you know, we want to keep the status quo on Temple Mount. Temple Mount, the place where there was the first building of the Temple of King Solomon, the son of King David, and the second temple, where all Christian remembered, you know, also visited by many other people. Now, he said that the status quo should supposed to be kept. Now, when you say status quo, it means peaceful, understanding, agreement. And this week, we're celebrating 20 years of the peace accord with Jordan. That's nice. You know, Israel is celebrating it, 20 years of peaceful coexistence side by side. Jordan is not going to attack. Israel is not going to attack. They're passing on. We have a common denominator, the Dead Sea, which have a lot of resources where, you know, it's dying. Nobody's doing anything, but they can do something. The perspective is there. However, there was giving, something was given to Hashemite kingdom. The king of Jordan had a wonderful, wonderful agreement when he had a peace accord, when some of the Israeli leader signed, which I always wonder where their head is when they sign such a deal. And they said, you know, we're going to give the mosque on top of Temple Mount as priority for the Jordanian. Nice. But they have to keep terrorists away. They have to have no propaganda, which is the basic rules of this agreement. And they have to give all access, free access to all religions. It means that if you're Jew, if you're Christian, if you're Muslim, you're free to go to Temple Mount, you know, and supposed to worship. But no. Their intention was different. They signed everything. Maybe they didn't write it, you know, well in Arabic, or they translated missing translation in English, which I read it. And it was clear. You have to give free access. What's happening on the Mount is people wanting, they're finding God. They want to come back to God to see what's the remain of the temple there, which they destroy all, you know, the people who were responsible for the holy site took 80 tons of debris from the temple, first temple, second temple, you know, residues, and they throw it in the trash. So people still going there hoping to find some spirit of God, godliness. But no, they go in there, and the police, which of course is supposed to obey to the Jordanian Hashemite kingdom, and saying, okay, the Jews are not allowed to come freely. Why? Because it's the mosque, it's the Muslim. The Muslims are controlling, but we had an accord. We did have an accord. This means that, you know, everybody's free to come. Even, you know, if you come to a church or you go to the Vatican, do you think in the entry of the Vatican, which is beautiful, humongous, and majestic place where you have incredible art, incredible statues, incredible places that you can visit, do they think that to ask you, are you Muslim, you Jewish, you Christian, what are you? You worship her? No, they welcome everybody. It's God's place for them. And they welcome, because that's the duty of a person who understands God, to accept and to welcome. This is the house of God, they think, right? So that's what they present. And sure enough, even the Pope invited a Muslim to pray there. But no, to go to the mosque, and I think that was the example he was trying to make, when, you know, you go to the Vatican to pray, why don't you let the Christian go on Temple Mount? Well, they didn't get it, you know, then so something. But the king said, no, you cannot change the status quo, which means that nobody goes there at worship. God forbid. If anybody wants to pray, no way. If anybody wants to kneel, no way. If anybody wants to feel the Holy Spirit of or divine, or, you know, come close and pray with all his heart and said, oh, mighty God, please help me. I need your help. I'm not there. Why? Because the Muslim Waqf and the Hashemite Kingdom, which Israel helped to protect and sustain, and, you know, any uproaring of Intifada or something like this that they're planning. No, they don't remember. They don't remember friendship. They forget, because before God, they are the only children. And I say to everybody, before God, we are everybody's are God children. So it's enough with that. And today on the Parliament, there was a very big session. And the chairman, a lady, which is a devoted Jewish person, she said, no, I'm not asking to pray on Temple Mount. I'm asking only to access. I said, no, forgive me, lady. We are asking freedom of worship. This is one and only place in the world that is holy and sacred to the Jewish people. One, only, on site of Temple Mount. We are the children of God like everybody else. And this is our place, and we want to go there. We don't mind the other praying. We didn't say, you know, you guys go away. We say, we just want to come too. There are 40 acres there. You know how big it is? Why shouldn't, you know, give, share place? If it's actually, I think that this is the God joke on the universe. Said, okay, children, if you think you really you believe in me, you probably want to try to get along with your brother and sister. And let's not forget, the Muslims are the brothers of the Jewish people. You know, from the time of Abraham, we everybody know, every Muslim will tell, the Jews are the brother, stepbrother, half-brother, whatever it is. We are family. But this family, they don't want to get along. Nothing changed. Thousands of years, and it's still there. So I think if with this intense one, we definitely deserve another kind of place, you know, of break, to put some music. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio. This is our time frame, and the clock changed in Israel, so it's not 8 p.m. anymore in Israel, or in the Middle East, it's 7 p.m. So it's 10 a.m. It's 10:30 almost. That's great. In the West Coast, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful morning. It's 1:30 in the East Coast, and I hope you have a great lunch. And here it's 7:30, and 7:30 is, dinner time, almost news time for everybody here. And everybody's going to come and look what's going on and the new session of the Knesset. And before we talk about the political parties, you know, evolving, and there is an American election coming 4th of November, which is going to be big, huge, because shifting power is a very sensitive issue. I want to tell you about Brazil. In Brazil, there is something phenomenon that just got created. They built the second, a replica of the second holy temple of Israel in the middle of São Paulo. A huge, humongous temple was erected with a cost of $400 million to worship the God of Israel in Brazil, São Paulo. Well, let me say, Brazil, you rock. You definitely rock. Not because you were smart enough to do it, not because you were capable of doing it, because you just understood how important to have a temple for God of Israel, which nobody else has in the world, and they are not allowing to build it in Jerusalem. Oh, God forbid, in Jerusalem, a temple for God of Israel. How can we do it? They did it. And And not just this, the tourism they're going to have. What an enterprise. The people were there, they showed the movies, and I was heating my heart out, because if I wanted to build a house for God, I would do it that way too. I would love to do it this way. And I think that anybody who has a small understanding of business, understand what the temple does to the area. Just think, the kingdom of Jordan, what will happen if you actually share that site and have all this tourist attraction coming and everybody's there worshiping together, because this, the third temple, is going to be the house of God of all nations. This is that ultimate, you know, Messiah time where everybody is going to come. But the business will rock. Nobody will have a go hungry anymore, because everybody will have businesses, there will tourists will come, everybody will have, you know, tales to join and to work on, to build, the roads will be humongous with tourists. What's wrong with that picture? Nobody sees that. And, you know, they didn't choose me to run the show here under no circumstance, and I can talk to you and your listener. Maybe we have one or two. I don't know how many are listening to us, but there is a number. Please call us if you listen to us, because we want to know you're there, because we're talking, and this is, for God's sake, we're doing it, and I'm doing it here. I'm doing it for God's sake, because I love God, and I know that He created incredible people like you all that will call us. 530-327-7602 and tell us how God is great. Now, it's not, you know, I'm not preaching. I'm in politics, you know, for many years, you know, or nonprofit organization which help the world, help the poor, help the sick, help the children, help the, you know, the sick. Anything that I could put my hand off, I did in my past. I did it because that's who I am. My parents taught me that. And, you know, I lost my father a month ago. And yesterday there was a memorial. And in the, you know, in all the repetition of what my father and my mother used to, God bless them, their soul, used to be, is how they helped the world to make it better. And I'm, you know, their trainee. I do the same again and again. They, you know, they come and they wake up in the morning and say, okay, let's help somebody. It's like, that's a regime. Let's go help the world. So can't blame me. I can't. It's my praise. So we're here and we want to say how we respect Brazil for letting something like this. And, you know, the president of Brazil was in the São Paulo grand opening. And a week before, they kicked or they took back the ambassador from Israel, the ambassador of Brazil from Israel, because they got insulted by some kind of maneuver of settlers or building. It's the most funniest thing in the world. Now, I'll tell you what, because this world needs to wake up to the reality of we have a God, and it's not us, and all the rest needs to go and get along. Now, the Jewish people were in Israel for, you know, 2,000 years ago. There was a language, of course, they renew it. You know, you cannot invent a language that never existed before, right? They renew the language again. So after 2,000 years, they brought the language back to life, and trust me, it's very difficult, and it's articulate, and they're incredibly, you know, talented of making new words again and again, but they were here. And the League of Nations decided to give it to them back. Why? Everybody's saying, oh, it's because of Holocaust. But no, it was because one great guy, his name was Theodor Herzl. computer. It's also in, you know, in 1897, he created the first conference of the Zionist organization. Now, everybody talking about Zionists in the world, and they're talking about, oh my God, Zionism, it's not, it's racism. No, Zionism is from the word Zion. Zion, if anybody know, it's Zion. Zion is Jerusalem. Everybody in the biblical arena knows that Zion is Jerusalem. When somebody is Zionist, it means coming back to Jerusalem. And what's wrong with coming back with Jerusalem? Nothing. It's only a pretense to attack, anti-Semite attack. So Theodore Herzl in 1987 created the first Congress of the, you know, Zionist Congress. He invited many respectable Jewish people who can influence, you know, the apparatus. And he thought about the situation in the world. He was living in an area of darkness, of course, and those times the Jewish people were not really very lovable. Listen, I don't know if people who get out of their land for many years, they become to be different. But, of course, the world Jewry didn't have a lot of respect, if we may say, call it nicely. And he said that, you know, anti-Semitism is something that is not going to go away. We need to bring back the Jewish people to their land. So he created this Zionist movement, and many offered him a different land. He said, oh, why do you have to take those people from all over to Israel? It's desolate land. You know, nothing happened there. Just go and to Uganda, where, remember Idi Amin Dada, where Entebbe? And the Jewish Jewry, the world Jewry, said, no, 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 we don't want. We want the Holy Land. This is the biblical promised land. It's divine. We have a part of it. And he says, okay, so he fought a lot hard. He went and he worked his life through trains, meetings, and day and night he used to say, if you want it, it's not a dream. If you want it, it's not a dream. That's what he said to the Jewish people. And everybody in the world, we can remember, we can say it again and again and again and know perfectly what he meant then, which wasn't, it was not understood as the same as we understand it, enlightened of today, with the enlightenment time of today, that when you say, if you wish upon it, in your heart, it's not a fairy tale. It's not. It's not a fairy tale. That's what he used to say. So he created this Zionist movement, which built up to be the Balfour Declaration. And it all started in a Dreyfus, trial. There was a guy that was, you know, his name was Dreyfus, and somebody blamed him that they used to put, some of the stories that people tell about the Jews in the diaspora are horrendous, and they build a story, and trust me, I don't want to repeat it, it was bad. So from Dreyfus, he went to make the Zionist organization built it up to the Balfour Declaration. Lord Balfour from England, he was an incredible person, and he understood with King George, you know, His Majesty King George from Britain, to talk. They said he understood the divine connection between the Jewish people and the land, that he wanted the Jewish people to go back to the land. So He said, okay, we recognize in the Balfour Declaration that the Palestinian territory is the home of the Jewish people. Now, what part of home people don't understand? When they call the Israel occupier, when by title, entitlement of that the new order, you know, that anytime they reorganize the world, they reorganize it, and it's done. It's not like, you know, the British mandate to the land was given, and nobody questioned the British mandate. And the Brits created the Balfour Declaration stating, 1917, stating that it's the house of the Jewish people. Now, Palestine was the name of the land. Now, why it became Palestine? It's because the Roman, when they conquered the land, they wanted to rename it. They didn't want it to be the, you know, the Israel or Judea, like it used to be the Kingdom of Judea and the Kingdom of Israel. They wanted to call it by the enemy name of Palestine. So they call it Palestine. So the connection was, you know, it's the same land. It's only in different name, and they called it Palestine. And in 1917, Balfour Declaration declared that, you know, we have this is the house, the home of the Jewish people, without prejudgment in regard to the other people who live in the land. It means that you respect the other, and they give them rule and regulation. Now, the League of Nations took it farther, and coming soon is 29 of November. There will be probably almost, many, many years ago, they decided to embed the Balfour Declaration with the League of Nations adoption of that resolution, 181, stating that Palestine is the home of the Jewish people. All right. It's too complicated, too long, I guess. Let's go to some music, Doug. All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis on PBS Radio, and this is Impossible Truth. The impossible truth to live like that with no people who actually preach the right thing or say something. And, you know, today we were talking about the creation of, how it came about to create the State of Israel with the Zionist movement, which is the Zion, the earning to Jerusalem, and the temple that they built in São Paulo, which was supposed to be built in Jerusalem, and we're still fighting for the right just to climb the mount and say hello and pray before God, not even erecting, God permit, what, another temple, third temple, Messiah will come. Wow, what a time. We'll have to be in peace. Nobody's killing anymore. That would be really, really, what are they going to do? They're going to be out of business, all those people with the guns and rifles. What? They'll have to actually work or actually get along? Actually get along with women? Which I started to suspect that, you know, the Muslim have an attitude toward women, which I don't understand. I met so many of them in Europe when I lived in Italy, and they were so respectful. I can't even explain to you the gap between people you meet in Europe and people when they know you're Israeli or American, for that matter, these days. They're different. You see, they have a different side of them. They're really nice, and I want to get to introduce to that side, the nice side. You know, we had enough with their bad side. Why don't you come around and teach us how nice you can be? So we had a startup today in the new parliament, and the guy from the Labour, a young guy, his name is Buji Herzog, he's a descendant of, you know, royalty in Israel. We call royalty whoever has, a piece of the pie a long time ago. His family already... grandfather was a very famous one. And what happens is he spoke truly today. He came out honest to God, you know, no cliches, no, oh, see who I'm here, you know. He was true to God. And he say, you guys who run the show, which is, you know, the right-wing people, and I'm, yeah, listen, for all that matter, you know, people put me so many tugs on him, I say, I am for the world. I am for God. If that makes me right, okay. If that makes me left, okay. But I'm a right-winger usually because the left don't like God, so I can't have, you know, a life without God, so they exclude me by policy. But the truth of the matter, I have no problem. I'm very humanistic and respect them, and most of my friends usually are left-wing because the right-wing are really hard-headed sometimes to women, you know. We're opinionated, and especially if you're a little smart, God forbid, you have an opinion. But let's say this guy, Erzo, came along. He's a little skinny bone, so I don't know, you know, how much dimension he can get, you know, because the presence of a minister needs to have, like, a little position. But he is clear and a clean-cut, wonderful speaker who spoke truth before his people and say, you guys driving us to where? No accord, no peace agreement, nothing. We don't talk to anybody. We get mad with Americans. You know, their economy is bad, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he was right, and he was honest. What's wrong with that? Everybody's saying politician cannot be honest. He was honest to God, and we respect that. No matter what he said, we respect that. And you know what? Benjamin Netanyahu was there, too, and he spoke. He spoke honest, too, and he said, if you forget Iran, nuclear aspiration, and you beat ISIS, you didn't do nothing. Well, he's right, too. He spoke honestly. He's focused on one thing about Iran, because Iran is becoming a nuclear power, and the world is not paying attention because it might be too late. Because they are planning the caliphate. They're not planning to come along and, you know, make the sister and brothers, you know, together and play kumbaya. They are planning to fight and win, but God's not gonna do it because they're using killing threat, and nothing is gonna happen. Power is in God's hand, nobody else. You can, you know, shoot as much as you want, but you run out of bullet one day. You run out of resources. They will run out of power, position, of everything, because they're trying to bully the world to their beliefs. And the world is not going to have it. So we have to think about a way to come across, call upon their nice side, which they have, and maybe come and start talking to them. Now, can you think about a way to make an enemy a lover or an enemy a friend, they say? There is only one way, they say, in the people, the wise man of the world, you know, they say, if you save their life, if you save their life, the enemy become a friend. And we have a very good representation of that, you know, Brigitte Gabriel. She's one of the most outspoken person in America about the fight, you know, against the so-called, you know, believers of the Muslim faith, when she was saved by a Jewish doctor, a Jewish taxi driver. Her mother was in the hospital. And there are a lot of stories like this where people, you know, have crossed Syria and where they're fighting, and they said they had the promise they're going to kill the Jews, but then, you know, if they get hurt, they're running to the border to help, you know, Israel, please help us, you know, the hospital is free. It's not free, it's open, because in the hospital, under God, we don't see any color, faith, or anything. We treat human as human. And that's what it is. It's the humanity of people, and we save their lives. So, you know, so many Assyrians will become friends, but what about the rest? How can we all help save those people? We don't know, but we just hope. We just hope that there'll be a chance to a better day and a better tomorrow for everybody, because the rate we're all going, we are getting out of whack. And it's not funny, and it's not good, and they are getting stronger, and the world is getting detached. More detached we are, more we lose sight of what's important. We need to unite our troop. In America, don't leave Israel alone for a minute. What was it supposed to be? You know, like a fighting? You know, there is no way America is leaving Israel alone on this side. Right now, we are best friends and will always be. We care for each other, we treat each other well, and we'll always be friends. Doesn't matter what happened and who said who. So what, you know? Among friends, everything can be said, especially those the big, which they have a lot of ego to deal with, you know? I think they get disturbed by their own egos. Anyway, let's go to a break before we wrap up this show. Thank you so much. It's Orly Benny Davis, I love you so much, and thank you for listening. So let's have another song, Doug. All right. I think that was amazing music. Sometimes they're off the walls, and sometimes they're rock. I don't know, but, you know, we're here to listen to everything, to accept everything, and to respect and love. And before we wrap up this show, I want to take a moment to pray for America, to pray for Africa, to pray for whoever the bad disease is there, to make sure that God save those beautiful souls of His, and make sure that this, you know, God forbid, sickness will not spread anymore. Whoever had it and is gone will be the world sacrifice for that. And that's it, God. We want God to forgive us and give us a lot of understanding what happened, what did we do wrong, so we can correct it. This all mess, we need only guidance, and the guidance comes with God's help and love and caring. And we say always we say in our, you know, in the Jewish faith, God, don't judge us when we are in a mess. Don't judge us. Help us through this river that we're crossing. This world that is rearranging himself, it's creating himself again and again, and it's all fighting, and all the bad goods got out. Please don't be harsh on us now. Don't, you know, take away all the illness. Please. So we can be tomorrow united, back on our feet, in a house, and in a place where we are safe and sound, and we have what we need to take care of our children, to have a nice place so we can feel and talk about God in happiness. And America deserves a lot. She's a great nation. She came to help everybody in the world, you know, in the world. She doesn't deserve any you know, illness of any sort. She's good, God, and we want, and I pray, God, for her, and I pray, God, for Africa that needs to see the light and, you know, get out of that track. And maybe it will go away soon, I hope. We're at the end of the show today, and I'm telling you, I didn't have any guests, and probably I wasn't in a mood to any guests. because so much is happening. What can I tell? You know, yes, I'm a little mad about, you know, how I'm offended about America, or I was insulted because my best buddy didn't care enough to take care of, you know, business. No, we forget, we forgive, and we want to know that tomorrow we'll see my friends again, we talk to our friends, and we will be united again in happiness. And may God give us the opportunity to interview nice people, good people, and only smart people. All right? So God bless you all. I love you. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio, The Impossible Truth. Thank you so much for joining. God bless you. I love you all. See you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.